Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we're going to be talking all about vitamin D. This time of year, it is currently in March, is a great time to talk about it because I like to test at the end of February, early March, because we're coming off of winter. And it is the time at which I'm going to get the most accurate vitamin D levels on my patients. Because if you test your vitamin D in the middle of July or August, you might have some interfering factors such as the sun. Now, many of us know that we can get vitamin D from the sun, but a lot of folks don't know about vitamin D is that its absorption varies from the sun based on how much sunblock you have on and if you keep reapplying it. Most of us forget to reapply when we're out in the sun, so we do get a decent amount of that vitamin D. But then there's some folks who, unfortunately, we are just not going outside as much as we should to get that good natural vitamin D. And then we have folks who have genetic mutations that no matter how much sunlight they're exposed to, they're not going to be able to effectively absorb vitamin D. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as well. And then, of course, I must mention the most important thing of all. Vitamin D really isn't a vitamin. It's actually a hormone, and a prohormone in particular, because it's going to get converted officially to a hormone in its active form called calcitriol. So vitamin D is a little bit of a complex vitamin, if you will, because it has a lot of activity. In fact, its receptors, known as the VDR or vitamin D receptors, are almost found in every single tissue in the body. So that means that vitamin D is a key vitamin or hormone, if you will, that we need for our body. Now, one of the big things that I think a lot of people are having trouble with vitamin D right now is the dosage. How much should we be taking, and how do we keep ourselves from having a overdose situation? And of course, in my practice, being that I am a naturopathic doctor, I often tend to see folks that have essentially not tolerated vitamin D. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because it was a week, this last week in my office, where I'm testing vitamin D, but I'm also hearing from people that when they take vitamin D supplements, they feel nauseous, they get liver pain, their gut feels off, they just feel sick. And I think this might be more common than is actually talked about. Or perhaps people are just associating taking vitamins with feeling sick, which that should not be the case. That should never be the case. If you take vitamins and you don't feel well, something's wrong with the digestive system. Something's wrong with the liver. Not that it's serious. It means that you're having trouble absorbing these things. And vitamins in particular, you should be taking them with food, especially B vitamins. If you listen to my podcast 120 before this one, I talked about absorption of B vitamins. So if you are interested, head back to that one and you can learn a little bit more. I related it to coffee and caffeine. So today I really want to go through, what is this prohormone vitamin D? What is it doing, and how does it work in the body? What is actually happening? So when you're out in the sun and the sunlight's hitting your skin, the ultraviolet B rays are going to create a reaction underneath your skin, and it's going to produce a certain type of vitamin D derivative, because what happens with vitamin D is it gets converted along the way in our body to a couple different things. and then it makes your end point that calcitriol, which is the active form of vitamin D in your body. But you go from something called cholecalciferol, and then it gets converted in the liver to something called calcidiol, and then we convert further on the way through the kidneys. So your liver, your kidneys, and your gut are all involved in vitamin D production within the body. So if you have a bogged down liver because you've been eating toxic foods, you've been drinking a lot of alcohol, you might have heavy metals in the body, whatever it may be, if that liver is bogged down, you're going to have trouble with vitamin D supplementation. If you're taking a ton of supplements at the same time and you're older, and by that I mean 50 plus, you are having issues with processing through the kidney. Because as we get older, the kidneys, we want to keep them strong, but let's face it, function over time starts to decline. If you're in your 70s and 80s, you might have even more trouble with vitamin D because the kidneys have been exposed to more items over time, toxins, medications. And medications are a biggie in this case. The amount of medications that you're taking, the harder time you're going to have with multiple supplements in particular. Now, I'm not saying don't take them, I'm saying spread them out. And that's really the idea over time. With anyone who is taking anti-seizure medications, these folks might have trouble absorbing vitamin D in general. And so there's some things to think about with vitamin D. It's not just one of these things that you just go out and you go, oh, I heard that I should take this. I'm just going to start taking it. I highly encourage everyone to get tested to find out where their vitamin levels are before they start taking copious amounts of anything, because you can throw balance off pretty significantly. In the case of vitamin D, what does it do for us? A lot of us know it as its immune boosting effects. But really what vitamin D is doing is it is there to help facilitate the absorption of calcium from our food, in the gut in particular. Now, it also is there to help with absorption of phosphate. So phosphate and calcium, two things that are pretty crucial for our bones. And as we get older, definitely something we need. And vitamin D helping with getting absorption of calcium and phosphate going, this is mineralization of your bones. It's making your bones stronger, making them healthier. So if you're listening to this and you've had some fractures of bones and you're like, I barely did anything to cause a fracture, you might want to be looking into what's going on with your vitamin D. Now, a fall in your concentration of calcium, so this would be low calcium intake in particular, is going to be regulated a little differently. Now, a lot of us think about vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D, but we don't think about what's regulating vitamin D absorption in the body. So if we have high amounts of calcium in our bloodstream because we're taking super copious amounts of calcium, we might be messing with our ability to balance vitamin D. Because the higher the amounts of calcium in the bloodstream, your parathyroid glands, so these are little glands that are behind your thyroid, so your thyroid's in your neck, kind of by where your Adam's apple is, where you swallow, it's on either side there. And the parathyroid glands are what are going to detect calcium levels. If your calcium levels are super high, they're going to inhibit absorption of vitamin D, because vitamin D is what's going to help us to get calcium across. So we don't want any calcium if we already have a lot in the bloodstream. But if we don't have a lot of calcium in the bloodstream, we're going to have the parathyroid glands producing parathyroid hormone, which is going to work on mobilizing calcium from the bone, but it's also going to work on enhancing calcium absorption from the small intestine, and it's going to inhibit calcium loss from the bladder, so from the kidneys in that aspect. But if we have too much calcium, we're not going to do that. If we have too much vitamin D in the bloodstream, we're not going to do that. So the idea here is that there are some feedback mechanisms that happen with levels of calcium and vitamin D. And so my message to you is don't just start taking these things willy-nilly and going, oh, I need extra calcium, I need extra vitamin D. You might not. You should have your levels tested first, because you can mess with the amount of calcium that's being put into your bones. You can mess with the amount of phosphorus that's being put into your bones, because calcium and phosphorus go hand in hand related to vitamin D. So something to think about there. Now, the other cool thing that I like about vitamin D is that it's been found to help regulate adrenaline and noradrenaline. Those are your adrenaline, you know, the get up and go neurotransmitters that keep you in fight or flight, or put you in fight or flight if you need to be in it. Vitamin D is also in charge of dopamine, or not in charge, it's part of the regulation of dopamine production in the brain, and it can also protect from serotonin depletion. And so this is where vitamin D is useful for helping with mood. This is why sunlight helps us to feel happy, because of the regulation of your neurotransmitters in this case. So having low vitamin D levels, of course, can increase the risk of depression, which is also going back to seasonal affective disorder, things of that nature. That's why our cavemen brains want sunlight. We are directly using that sunlight to help us regulate our brain neurochemicals and our body neurochemicals. Now, let's talk a little bit about who's more likely to have low vitamin D levels. First and foremost, anyone who does not expose themselves to the sunlight or really is good at putting sunblock on and reapplying. And I say that kind of laughing, because most people are not good at it. So the idea is if you're out and you put sunblock on and you're worried that you're not getting your vitamin D from the sun, I wouldn't worry about it as much if you're not a diligent reapplier every 90 minutes of your sunblock. Just saying. I admit, I'm not. But, you know, with folks who have low vitamin D, like I said, exposure, also folks who have gut, liver, or kidney issues. And by that I mean leaky gut, you could have celiac, you could have Crohn's, you know, on the more severe end of gut issues. But unfortunately, most people in the United States have some form of gut issues, whether it's yeast infection in the gut, bacterial infections on the gut. If your gut isn't working properly, you've got inflammation on your gut lining, food sensitivities even, you're gonna have trouble absorbing vitamin D through the gut. You're gonna have issues. So if you're supplementing and you feel sick, that's one of the main issues. Another one would be in terms of having liver or kidney issues. And liver, extreme as, you know, drinking too much alcohol. So I'm not even going to go into folks who have hepatitis induced, you know, by alcohol. That's even more extreme. Definitely anyone who has cirrhosis of the liver, anyone who has hepatitis or has had a history of hepatitis C or B, those types of hepatitis are going to prevent you from being able to absorb vitamin D effectively and process it through the liver like a normal, you know, someone who's healthy, let's put it that way, not normal. So those are things to think about. Kidney, any kidney issues. Maybe you donated a kidney and you only have one kidney. Things to think about in terms of vitamin D. I see more and more patients every single day in my office who have beginning stages of kidney disease. And it's shocking. They look completely healthy coming in. I run their labs and their kidneys are not filtering like they should. They're slowing down. And I really think this has to do a lot with the toxic foods and drinks that we're drinking. So you gotta look at eating clean, sticking with foods closest to nature to get the liver and the kidney primed up to be able to help you with vitamin D, since, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, vitamin D receptors are in almost every single tissue in our body. And there's a lot of functions for vitamin D, such as immune regulation, energy production, neurochemical production, metabolism, absorption, like I already said, of minerals to keep your bones strong. This is a big, big deal. And might as well just go through the symptoms of vitamin D deficiency, because I just mentioned the benefits of vitamin D. But fatigue, depression, weight gain, sweating in the forehead, bone aches, stress fractures, or being prone to stress fractures, slow exercise recovery, insomnia, and decreased immunity. A lot of folks come into my office complaining of fatigue, insomnia, weight gain, slow exercise recovery. I mean, this is common stuff here. And so a lot of us think about vitamin D for immunity and think about taking it to boost our immune system. But I think a lot of people don't really realize that vitamin D has a ton to do with metabolism in general in the body. That's why it's been touted as a vitamin to help with weight loss. And in fact, those who are overweight and obese will have trouble with vitamin D, because if you're in the sunlight, it's going to get stuck in the fatty tissue commonly, and overabsorbing can get stuck in the fatty tissue because vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. So there's that issue too. So lots of things to think about with this vitamin D business here. Now, what do I see in my office? I often can predict if someone has low vitamin D by looking at general labs, because we can look at something called a CMP. It's a metabolic panel to see how the liver is functioning, and kidneys as well. And I can see what's going on there, but I can also see in terms of calcium levels in the blood. A lot of times I will see folks with really elevated calcium levels if their blood sugar is off. What does that mean to me? Well, it means that if there's a lot of calcium in the blood, they're probably shutting off their ability to absorb vitamin D effectively. So something to think about. I also noticed that some folks have low phosphorus. Now, low phosphorus testing has to come through a test that I've talked about before. If you've listened to my podcast before, it's called the OAT test, and it's an organic acids test. It comes from a company called Great Plains Labs. But very commonly, I'll see folks with low phosphorus, and that's a red flag right there, that if phosphorus is low, calcium's low, and we've got issues with absorption of vitamin D. So this person's probably going to have low vitamin D if they have low phosphorus. So low calcium, low phosphorus equals low vitamin D. Excess calcium, excess phosphorus can also mean low vitamin D, in the case that they're shutting off the feedback mechanism to the parathyroid gland, so those guys behind the thyroid. So what do you do about this? Well, one of the things I definitely want folks to think about here is that if you have blood sugar metabolism issues that are pushing your calcium levels up in your blood, and you can see it because the higher end of most lab studies is about 10 milligrams per deciliter there for the calcium. If it's 10 or above, you need to go back and look at your metabolism in terms of sugars. You need to limit your sugars. You need to clean the diet up, clean the liver up. And so those are things to think about. And if you're someone who has trouble tolerating vitamin D, and you look back at your labs and you see that your lab has a higher amount of calcium, like you're on the high normal border there, you definitely are having issues with your body figuring out how much vitamin D it really needs. So something to go with there is always, always helpful is going back to eating clean, getting the diet on point, exercising daily, those kind of things. All right, so if we're looking at a lab, and I've ordered it for a patient, and I will tell you this, that some insurances will cover vitamin D testing if your doctor is using codes that are, let's put it this way, that are indicating this individual really does need the test done. If your doc just writes vitamin D on there and doesn't give a proper code, you could have a pretty high lab bill. So heads up. That's why I do have people consider, one, if you have a high deductible insurance plan, or you have
no idea what your lab might do or your doctor's not really on board for testing vitamin D, you can order kits online. Even Amazon has vitamin D testing kits, which is pretty crazy. My favorite lab for testing vitamin D is ZRT Labs. So ZRTLabs.com. And I will have links at the end of my podcast notes at drjcrossnd.com. But yeah, you want ZRT Labs as the best one. The secondary, and you're looking at about $80, but what they're testing is vitamin D3, your total vitamin D, and your vitamin D2. So what they're looking at is your complete profile of vitamin D, which is cool. Whereas a lot of the other labs, I don't know if they're doing all of that. I just happen to use ZRT Labs more effectively. So an ideal amount of vitamin D in your blood. What is an ideal amount? You will hear different, let's say, opinions from different docs based on what you're trying to do. For the average individual just trying to stay healthy, keeping the immune system up, keeping the metabolism going, 40 to 50 nanograms per milliliter is what I see as being the ideal calcidiol, otherwise known as 25-OH, so 25-hydroxy. This is the ideal amount, 40 to 50 for the average individual. And you'll probably hear that pretty commonly. That's what I've found people seem to operate well. So anything under 40 is considered low. And I often will see people in the 12 to 15 range here in the Pacific Northwest. That's unfortunately what happens because we get a lot of darkness in the winter times. Now, going over 50 plus in terms of the vitamin D, that's a lot. And that's, you know, and that's where we do run into toxicity. I've had patients at 100 and they don't feel too good. Their gut gets a little wonky at that point. They feel a little nauseous. You don't want to go that high. Really, when you're looking at levels of vitamin D in the 80s to the 100 nanograms per milliliter, this is cancer protective. These are your cancer docs who are functional cancer docs looking at keeping the immune system primed. I don't think the average individual needs to be that high. So 40 to 50 nanograms per milliliter is my opinion is your target where you want to be with your vitamin D levels. All that being said, we've got some genetic mutations I mentioned before, VDR. VDR stands for vitamin D receptor, and there's BSM and TAQ. These are gene mutations, and people are finding this out by doing the 23andMe testing and taking the 23andMe testing and running it through something called Genetic Genie. So geneticgenie.org, if you have 23andMe testing and you want to see your SNPs. So meaning the actual numbers and letters that go along with your genetic mutations, go to geneticgenie.org and upload your 23andMe results. And give those folks a donation because they do it for free. And I think it's great information because you can take these SNPs, if you will, these are your genetic, your genes, and take them to a functional medicine doc or a naturopathic doctor who's been trained to look at these. And you can talk about what kinds of deficiencies might you have related to your current health. Now, keep in mind, genes are tricky because we don't know if they're officially turned on or not in terms of mutations. But if someone's super fatigued, having trouble with their immune system, they're gaining weight, and they're having trouble recovering from exercise, that's a vitamin D deficiency. Even depression along with that vitamin D deficiency. So that means that that receptor is not working, or not the receptor, their genetic mutation is most likely turned on. So what do you do about that? You got to make sure that someone's liver and gut are working well, and then, and kidneys, liver, gut, kidneys, making sure that those are working well, then supplement. So if you're out there and you're like, I've taken vitamin D before and I didn't feel well, go back to your liver, your gut, and your kidneys. Make sure they're all working well. Go to a functional medicine doctor or naturopathic doctor. Get that worked out. Then go back to vitamin D and don't overdo it. So let's talk about vitamin D in terms of what is toxicity like. So bone pain, kidney issues, stones in the kidneys. So is there a direct correlation between someone having excess vitamin D and developing kidney stones? Yes, because it's extra calcium in the blood. Where do we filter our extra vitamins out? They've got to go out your kidney. So back into the urine. So kidneys, first step for filtration. And that's where we start to have some kidney stones building up. And that's a big deal. That's not something you want. super painful. Now, the other thing that I tend to see in my office is nausea, vomiting, and pain in the liver for a lot of folks. What is that an indicator? Well, there's something up with the liver if we've got pain on the right side of the body, rib cage area. That's liver. Kidneys are in your back, kind of midway down the back at the end of your rib cage there, at the L1 level, if you can find that there at the bottom of the rib cage. That's where kidneys are, either side of the spine. So if you have pain there, then you know kidneys are what are needing to be dialed in. So the typical treatment of vitamin D, I usually have people on 2000 IU a day. I've stood by that for a long time and haven't had issues with anybody. The issue that I ended up having is in my office is if I have folks coming in who have been doing certain protocols where they're trying to prevent getting sick, and they take 50,000 to 60,000 IU of vitamin D for weeks, like daily for weeks on end. That's when we tend to have issues. In fact, there's documented data that 60,000 international units, so IU, a day of vitamin D for several months has shown to cause toxicity. And that level is so many times higher than the 600 IU that's the recommended daily allowance of vitamin D a day. So you can imagine if your liver and your kidneys and your gut are not 100% functioning and they've got some restrictions, and then you take a high amount of vitamin D for a long period of time, you can imagine how things would build up. So being safe here, you know if your liver and gut aren't working right. You can tell if you don't detoxify things well, get hangovers quickly, you're very sensitive to certain foods, probably not smart to be doing these really high dose vitamin D protocols. Now, do they work in folks that have healthy bodies? Yes, they do. So something to keep in mind that yes, you can do that, but I wouldn't do it unless you've got a doc on board helping you with it. So don't high-dose vitamin D without supervision. Now, here's some food for thought, or a thought, just for thought. High-dose vitamin D was studied at the Queen Mary University in London, and this 2017 study concluded that taking vitamin D supplements help prevent against colds, flu, bronchitis, pneumonia, all of that. But the folks that benefit from it are the ones that already had low vitamin D. Those who didn't have low vitamin D levels had no benefit. So what does this mean? Do you have to get tested for your vitamin D once you get the first signs of cold and flu? No. You should just have an idea every year at about this time in terms of February, March, where your vitamin D levels are to know what's going on with you. I typically will have people get tested every year at this time to see where we're at, just to know what's going on with your body. End of February, March, great times to test. Now, in that study I was talking about from Queen Mary University in London, this is a big study. There's 25 clinical trials and like 11,000 plus patients in this from 14 countries. And what they really did find, like I said before, is that if you had low levels of vitamin D originally, and you took vitamin D to help with cold or flu, it would help. But if you didn't have low levels, it's not going to help. Now, like I said before, a lot of folks right now have heard the hype on taking high doses of vitamin D to try to prevent colds and flu. And I've even recommended it to certain patients when I knew that they had low vitamin D levels. But it's best to confirm first, for sure. So, like I said before, I'm kind of a fan of 2000 IU of vitamin D a day for the average individual. If I have someone that has lower vitamin D levels, I'll go up to 5000 IU a day, or even 10,000 based on how low the how low their levels were. So depending on how low someone wants. If they're in the teens, I'm going to be doing 10,000 IU of vitamin D a day. If they're in the 20s and 30s, I'm going to be going with 5,000 IU a day. I commonly here in the Pacific Northwest, we'll say 5,000 IU. If we're in the winter time where it's really dark here, I will go with that. And I have not seen ill effects. In fact, a lot of research has shown that you can take 10,000 IU a day without ill effects. It's when you start getting into the 50, 60,000 IU a day range, we start to have issues. Now, here's an interesting concept. Does anyone out there know how much international units of vitamin D you get when you're out in the sun? Well, on average, studies show that you can generate between 10,000 IU and 20,000 IU per hour from exposure to the sun without ill effects. That's pretty cool. I wanted to throw that tidbit in there because I think that's really, really interesting. Now, foods rich in vitamin D. Let's talk about foods. Fatty fish, eggs, cod liver oil, oysters, sardines. Those guys are rich in vitamin D3, so most absorbable, most effective type of vitamin D. We have food such as cereal and milk, orange juice, mushrooms. Those are fortified with vitamin D2, but it's not as effective. Research has shown that D2 is not as strong. A lot of docs will prescribe vitamin D2 to folks via the pharmacy. If you have found that you have vitamin D deficiency and your doc's giving you vitamin D2 as a prescription, talk to your doc, explain that vitamin D3 is more effective for raising a vitamin D deficiency. So if you've had trouble with your labs, that's what you want to do. You want to ask for vitamin D3. Now, if folks have trouble with processing vitamin D, a lot of times they'll start with cod liver oil, because if we have problems with absorbing vitamin D or we want to maximize our absorption of vitamin D, we need to have good fats in our diet. We need to be releasing bile salts. Bile salts come out of your gallbladder. So if your gallbladder isn't working well or you don't have one, we have some issues here. What does that mean? Likely you want to be taking your vitamin D with a fattier fish or egg or something of that nature, but perhaps you need to have a digestive enzyme that has lipase in it, something that's going to help with breaking down fats, or something that has ox bile in it, because ox bile is bile that can help you when you don't have it. So something to consider with digestive enzymes and helping with absorbing vitamin D effectively. Now, another biggie is we need magnesium to absorb vitamin D effectively. And if you're deficient in magnesium, you're going to have problems with vitamin D. So a lot of people that I see in my practice, we will look at magnesium levels in the red blood cells and along with vitamin D levels just to see where are things at. Because we are not just... we're very intricate characters in terms of how things get absorbed and how the body works. So magnesium deficiency. I'll often have my patients working on low levels of magnesium, taking magnesium glycinate or magnesium threonate or magnesium malate. I'm not using citrate unless someone's constipated. So magnesium citrate for constipation, C constipation. Keep that in mind for your magnesium. So I will have the folks with the magnesium, some higher fats like grass-fed ghee, some unfiltered olive oil, flax oil, walnut oil, pumpkin seed, something of that nature, taking that with some magnesium. Now, there's also studies that have said transdermal magnesium, so this would be a magnesium cream that helps with pain, things of that nature. You could also consider Epsom salts to try to get the magnesium in your body a little bit more effectively. I like Trace Minerals. It's a liquid. You could put the drops into water, and that helps you with absorbing magnesium and other minerals to help with vitamin D absorption. So there's lots of little things you can do to help enhance the vitamin D absorption in your body. And I will put all of what I just mentioned in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So if you are driving or walking and want to see those again, or if you just didn't get them down because I said them too fast, head over to drjkrausnd.com and look for episode 121 on vitamin D. So let's sum it up. Best to know where your vitamin D levels are before you start supplementing. I would highly recommend knowing where your mineral levels are as well. That way you kind of have a total picture of what's happening in your body with your calcium and vitamin D absorption, since they go hand in hand. So possibly asking from your doc a magnesium red blood cell level and asking for a CMP, which is a chemistry panel that tells us about how your liver and kidneys function, and then asking for a 25-hydroxy vitamin D test and seeing if your doctor knows how to code for that. That's important, because otherwise you're going to get a big bill on your insurance. And so if you're afraid of that, then go over to ZRTLabs.com and get your blood spot test kit for vitamin D. So this is a finger poke, little drop of blood goes onto a card, you send it off, and then your lab results come back to you. So that is a really great way of doing things. Now, if you want a little bit more comprehensive in terms of vitamins and minerals beyond just the magnesium, Genova Labs has a Nutra Eval test that I think is amazing. It's $379 cash, but it is worth it to find out your levels of selenium, copper, etc., because those are other minerals involved in metabolic processes in the body. So because I'm not the type of doc that wants to pinpoint one thing as being your main problem, I want to see the whole picture. That's why I'm mentioning these things as well. So, who's the best doctor to help you figure out vitamin D issues if you're struggling with keeping your vitamin D levels up? It's an endocrinologist. Why? Because vitamin D really is a hormone. It is functions like that. You need good fats to help with its continuance and conversion in the body. It's really, really important. So, finding a functional endocrinologist is ideal, and I'll put a resource in my podcast notes for you to find a functional endocrinologist as well. Now, there's one more thing I want to tell you about. There's a really cool website that shows how you should be supplementing vitamin D if your liver's not healthy, your gut's not healthy, or your kidneys aren't healthy. It's pretty cool in terms of what form of vitamin D is most effective for you. And in the case of kidneys not being healthy, usually injected calcitriol is useful. If your liver's not healthy, you're looking at a possible calcidiol injection, so it is a vitamin D injection. If your gut's not healthy, there's a couple other ways of going about it. I usually try to get the nanoemulsions, which are the liquids. Those are more absorbable than the capsules in the gut, but I still have seen issues with patients. And so you got to get the gut fixed up, get the liver fixed up, get the kidneys fixed up first. There are other ways to get vitamin D in, but I think if you want to get things most effective for you, dial in the gut, the liver, and the kidneys before having to go to injections. But I will put this resource in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com, just so you can see how it breaks down single year to know where things are at. Then going from there for testing. If your levels are in the teens, likely 5,000 to 10,000 IU a day is useful. If you're in the 20s in terms of being low, 5,000 IU a day is useful for you. My favorite brand of vitamin D is Soroyal. It's a liquid, it's drops. I like that brand, and I also like Pure Encapsulations drops as well. I just find that the drops do a lot better than the capsules for folks. Now, of course, like I said, there's possibilities of toxicity, and there's possibilities of symptoms of not feeling well. And there's a difference between toxicity and not absorbing the vitamin D well and feeling sick from that. So watch your dosages and make sure that your liver, your kidneys, and your gut are functioning well before you start taking a vitamin D supplement. Alrighty, folks, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.